say about finances, about money. Oh, I know they always say that one scripture that money's the root of all evil. Then I have to correct them and say that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So God wants you to have a lot of it. He just, again, doesn't want it to have you. He wants you to be out of debt. So think about when it says, when Luke's gospel says, give, and it'll be given back to you. When we're talking about finances, then that's what it's talking about. When you give it, it'll be given back to you. And then it says, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. It's the same thing with love. If you give and sow, S-O-W, love, then you'll reap it, you see. It's the same with anger. If you give anger, that's what you're going to get back. If you don't sow friendship, you'll be one that does not have many friends. So that principle is something that God started a long time ago. Matter of fact, Genesis 8 and 22 says, while the earth is still here, while it remaineth in the King James, seed, time, and harvest will never cease, day and night, and the moon and the sun, and so on. In other words, that principle of sowing and reaping is going to be here forever. You got to get used to it. So when you apply that principle that God started to your personal life, I'm telling you, it'll bless you if you do it right. In the area of finances, that's why you give to a church. We don't owe anything. We're debt-free on these buildings. We're about to start the second phase of the kids' church, about six buildings that's going to be right behind this building. It's connected. And we're gonna build that thing, get our kids into a safe place. Right now they're in a safe place, but they have to go across to the arena, to the announcer stand, top and bottom, and they've got to go into what really is the bookstore and the coffee shop one day. I want them to have their own room. How about you? Amen. It's going to take all of us sowing into that. So when you sow into these buckets, since the Bible says bring that tithe or offering to the storehouse, I want you to do it with that attitude. You place that in there. This is a seed, sir. And I thank you, Lord, that it will bring back a harvest in my life in Jesus' name. So let's come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Ooh, we're going to have some fun today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for believing in this church. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. Look at her walk. You go, girl. Precious. That little girl right there is the one that started coming up here and receiving and putting your tithe and offering into the box. And now there's a lot of kids that come up there. And you know what it's doing? It's teaching them how to give. Amen. It's teaching that principle, man, don't be stingy. And be a giver. Yeah, smile. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for all these tithes and offerings. However they were given, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true, as Malachi says. You said to prove you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that obedience to not allow something called money to control us is why we really give. You don't need it. It's not that you need finances, but obviously the church to spread the gospel does. And so when we give it to you, sir, we thank you, Lord, for wisdom, integrity, to use these finances in exactly the way you need them to be used, to spread the gospel, to pay these bills and things like that, and to cause people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for the obedience of the people that gave and the ones that give whenever. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Well, let's do it. I want all the youth, matter of fact, if you're 18 all the way down to 12, I want you to stand up. I want to see you. Just stand up. If you're 18 to 12, stand up. There's a lot of you. Amen. There's a lot of you. Just stay, hang on. We have a youth group for a reason, because we're starting to separate the junior high from the high school. We're growing to that stage. But right now they're doing a fantastic study from Tim Tebow. And all of those, even the junior high, are staying in with all the senior kids. And I want you to know something. It's you guys that are teaching those younger ones. Amen. And it's those younger ones that are looking up to you that need to be taught just how to communicate and cooperate and how to live for God. And so it's an honor to be able to have a youth group that AJ is the pastor of. And so I want to dismiss you guys, but I also want to dismiss all the kids under that, because, and the reason I have you clap when they're dismissed is because the teachers need your encouragement. Amen? And so with that said, I want this week to dismiss all our youth and all the kids' church with a big round of applause. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. You'll love it. You'll have a blast. Amen. Glory be to God. Look at all of them. It's like, man. Mamas, y'all might want to get back real fast, because we're going to do something real fun this morning. All the men, y'all in here, aren't you? How many of you would love, men and women in this church, to win a $100 Visa gift card? Is there anybody in here? Who doesn't want to win anything? I mean, I hate winning. I'm going to give away some gift cards this morning. I bought five of them. But I'm not going to give five away. But I might give a couple away. So let's have some fun. I wrote some of this stuff down. I want to do the men, because there was some ladies that are taking their kids, and I want to watch. How many of you men, and you're going to have to show me, how many of you have a knife in your pocket? Just stand up. Pull it out. Let me see it. Now, don't open it, okay? If you got a knife in your pocket, get up. Okay, you got a knife? Awesome, okay. Y'all are the candidates that are in to win $100. Rest you men need to get a knife.
And bring one, man.
Okay, out of you that are standing, how many of you have two quarters in your pocket? If you don't, sit down. Two quarters in your pocket. Don't be going to your wife now. I'm watching. If you got a couple of quarters, you got a couple quarters? All right. Someone verify that he has at least two quarters back there. You got two quarters? Someone show him and make sure you got, I want to see them. You got some quarters? Two of them? You got? Okay. All right. Out of you four, you didn't have no quarters, did you? Well, it didn't matter about you anyway. Out of you four, how many of you have a receipt in your pocket? Pull it out. You got one? You got a receipt? You got a receipt? You got to sit down if you don't have a receipt. Uh-oh, we got two left. You got a receipt? That's fine. Wait a minute. What copy is it? Is it a ticket receipt? Fuel? Okay, we'll take that. What's your receipt of? Fuel? Huh. How about that? Which one of you, you got a Cabela's credit card? Cabela's credit card? Cabela? You got one? Oh, too bad. You're still in it, though. Either one of you have false teeth? You do? What? Oh, oh my Lord. Sit down, boy. You're winning. Come on. I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. I'm proud of
you.
God bless
you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that, brother. I mean, and I surely wasn't expecting you to show them. Okay, ladies. Y'all ready? How many of you have a tube of lipstick in your purse? Stand up. I want to see it, though. A tube of lipstick. You don't have one? You brought the wrong purse, didn't you? I mean, I want to... You got a tube of lipstick? All of y'all? Lori, where's your... You're not allowed to stand up until you got the tube of lipstick first. I'm waiting. I know, right? They're dumping their purse out. I'm going to find that son of a gun. You got one, don't you? Okay, stand up. Okay. Out of y'all that are standing in your purse, how many of you have a paper clip in there? If you don't have a paper clip, a paper clip. You don't have one? You got one? Is that it? Wait a minute. We got one looking. You got one? Did you have a tube of lipstick? Okay, good. Stay up. Stay up. Wait a minute. We're looking. Hang on. She's looking, y'all. I'm waiting on her. Hey, you wasn't ready for that one, was you? Paperclip. We have two of them that have a paperclip. This is amazing. Maybe three. She is still digging. I hear her speaking in tongues. No, I'm just kidding. I'm waiting on you, though. This is starting to get political. Did you not have one, ma'am? Oh, you're looking. Okay. Did someone hand that to you? Three of you.
I've been digging down in no man's land all this time.
All right. I like that. How long do we got to wait for you, ma'am? Go ahead. Oh, okay. Okay. She said, go ahead. Okay. Out of y'all that are standing, how many have had a fingernail file? Oh, you go to the nail place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fingernail file. If we go past this, it's going to get real good, especially after the false teeth. You don't have one? All right. Y'all three stand back up. Oh, you was going to hand her one, wasn't you? You're a giver. Yeah. All right, stand back up. Did you ever find a paper clip? You're still looking? You got a big purse. Y'all two? No, you got to stand back up because no one had a fingernail file. So you're back in it. You're back in it. It's just spirit of giving. How many have gum in your purse? No gum. Not a gun. Now, some probably do, but you got some gum? You don't? You got gum? Oh, you don't have any? Ah, you win. You win. God bless you. Man, I wanted to get to the next one. I had wig extensions. I was trying to think of everything, man. Listen to me. We're going into a holiday, and I'll give some more away, as the months go or the weeks go. But you know, we're going into a holiday that it's about giving. But the greatest thing that we talked about at the lighting of the tree is the gift that was given, named Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, that's not what I want to talk to you about. I just want to start having some fun. I want people to know when they come to have church, it's not to get a gift. I mean, don't expect me to give thousands of dollars away every time. Oh, I'm going to that church, brother. But you know, to have fun in such a chaotic world is what we need to start doing. I want to talk about a serious subject, though. It's a word called offense. It's a killer. And a lot of people live in offense. Matter of fact, people will leave churches. Matter of fact, there's one lady leaving the church right now. I had to, Sue. Yes, that was so good. That was perfect. But did I really upset you? Because you didn't have a file? Or I'm kidding, go. That spirit of offense, though, is very dangerous. You want to talk about pressure. But I'm not here to talk about the offender. I'm talking about all of the people, anybody, because that spirit, it doesn't show favoritism. Because that spirit of offense is in this area like I've never seen. I know churches that people are leaving so fast over a spirit of offense. Now, sometimes it's you know, you're leaving because things are not being done biblically. And that's an understandable thing. You need to get out. But that spirit of offense is a very dangerous thing, and we're going to deal with it today. Because again, I'm not talking to the people that just offend. I mean, that I understand that we live in a world that the nature is self. I want you to turn in your Bibles, because again, we're going to deal with this spirit called offense to set all of us free that might just have some issues about offense. It's easy to be offended. If I titled this message, it would be Offense Equals Danger, because it is a destroyer of a lot of things. Marriages are under attack more today because of offense. Matter of fact, in the church alone, there is just as many divorces as there is out in the world. And here we are supposed to be learning what God says about marriage. The communication that's needed, the submission on both sides. Nowhere in the Word of God, and I preach this when I marry people. I'm gonna go down and Ricky and Daryl and I we're doing the music for a very huge wedding in the Western world for Tuff Cooper, all around champion of the world, calf roping champion of the world. It's going to be broadcast on live, and we're the music. So if I'm going to be a part of it, I want it to last. Amen. I don't want us to be in the mix of the statistics like the world, where it's easy just to check out, because I don't like that. I'm ticked off. And so I want to start out in Romans chapter 12. I want you to turn there. Romans chapter 12. And this message is for every single person. Matter of fact, if you're watching live, and by the way, it's an honor that this week is our 1 year anniversary of going live on television at this church. Amen. Thank God for it. We have people that watch from all over, and I know a lot of you from different states that communicate with us about watching this program or watching right now. And this message is for all of us. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not," if you was underlined in anything, underline that one little small word, "not," because it's pretty important. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Now that says a lot right there, doesn't it? Be not conformed to this world. Because in anything in life, it's so easy to be offended. But how easy is it for you to be offended? I mean, I could say things like, if I said to someone, "I really don't like the new Ford pickups. I mean, they're ugly. I mean, they're..." People are already getting offended. And John, where's John at? Yeah. He's in kids' church. Thank God. He sells them at Ford. He sells them to me. What if you had one? I've got three. I've got four. No, I've got three. One's a Dodge, didn't it? Okay. We might have hit on something here. and you own the Ford. Are you the one that then starts to defend the Fords? And you bring up statistics. This Ford is the safest Ford, safest class. And I mean, you start bringing them up, all the defense of why you love the Ford. And you start saying, "Yeah, but the Fords look way better than Chevrolets. Oh, they're nicer." You know, and I really believe that if Jesus was here today physically, he would be driving a Ford. You know why? Because the Bible says when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back as a thief in the night. You're going to hear those Chevrolets and Dodges from a mile away. At least the old ones. Do you realize just that right there can cause offense? Can cause someone to, "How dare you talk about my Ford?" And I know that seems so minor, but really, we do this every single day. We take offense because I believe we're unsure of ourselves. That's what offense does, is it makes us have to start building ourselves up. But yet you need to be secure of who you are in Christ Jesus, you see. But what does the Bible say about offense? If you have one, I want you to turn to page 1067 in your Bible. That's where Ecclesiastes is in my Bible. The rest of you turn to page 1, table of contents. And find Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I want to see, what does the Bible say about offense? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. And I want to read out of the Amplified Version. It says, "Do not give heed to everything that is said, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For often your own heart knows that you have likewise cursed others. In other words, man, all of us can make a mistake. What about Proverbs chapter 19? Just back just a little bit. Because see, what we're doing here this morning is let's figure out what does the Lord say about offense. Proverbs chapter, let's go 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. In the Amplified, it says a brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Flip over to your right, chapter 19 and verse 11. The Bible says good sense makes a man restrain his anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. Back up to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeks love, but he that repenteth a matter separateth very friends. In the Amplified, I like it because it kind of explains it a little better. It says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. I want you to know something this morning, that we're going to break that spirit of offense. We're going to break it over this community, because I'm here to tell you it is a terrible thing to live in that spirit. You're offended all the time. And again, we're not talking about someone that offends you, because really, it doesn't really matter. It's all of us that get offended so easily. That's who we need to deal with. Now, you may have to not hang around the offender. You may not have to yoke yourself with them. But we need to start dealing with us that are so easily offended. Man, we need to shake some things off. We need to cast away some of that hurt. Because let me tell you what happens is when you're offended at one place, if it is not dealt with, it will come into the next place sometime. And sometimes it may be years down the road. For example, someone leaves a church out of offense. And I'm not saying that you don't need to leave the church if they're not preaching the Word of God or they're doing things not biblical. But there comes a time when we need to forgive. We need to let some things, you know, go through one ear and out the other sometimes. We need to not take that offense, because when we take that offense, it'll start. Well, what does the offense do? The enemy uses it to start bringing it to our minds, right? And before you know it, I mean, you have caused an offense to be so big, and really just a little bit of communication, it could have been squashed immediately. I remember a man he's in prison. We visited him quite a bit. And he would tell us that his family wasn't real good about writing him. And you know, when you're in that place, man, that sometimes that's all the time you have to do, is you'll communicate to, you know, your family, and you're writing letter after letter because you have a lot of time, not realizing that the family outside or the friends outside, man, they're busy and they're going through a lot. And what happens is then the devil starts bombarding the mind with thoughts of, well, they don't love me anymore. They're writing us off. I mean, I've seen letters come back that have said things like, if I don't hear from you this week, then I'll know that you have written me off and I won't write you again. You see what happens? The enemy just begins to confuse us and tell our minds that all the negative stuff that we're hearing out there in that world is probably true. When in all reality, it's a lie from the pit of hell. And we've got to rid ourselves from these spirits of offense. I mean, things like if we don't look good, we take offense. If someone that loves us tells us the truth, we take offense. When we take the offense, again, that's when Satan attacks our minds. And then we meditate on it. So, how do we stay away from offense? I want you to turn in your Bible and let's just begin to get delivered about getting rid of that spirit of offense. And I'm going to show you how. I do it a lot. Because in what I do with so many people, it's easy to offend. It's easy to take offense. And when that temptation is there, we've got to say no to it. Amen? I mean, your mind will even start trying to convince you that you're not loved anymore. And man, that spirit of offense is so dangerous. And we're going to deal with it. I mean, you don't even have to. I don't know if some of you have Facebook. That's why sometimes I wonder if Facebook is really of the Lord. I mean, it could be used for good purposes. Then if you mess up, oh, Jesus. They don't know you repent. Because you know, for something. But, boy, if you ever look at some of those, websites that are from the town, Liberty Hill or Bertram or, you know, those kind of things, wow. I mean, you'll be offended all the time just reading them. I mean, someone can say something as sweet as, hey, let's support Liberty Hill football team. And someone might come back and say, how dare them using our tax dollars for the football team? And I'm like, what? What? And then before I know it, I'm mad. You don't like the football team? And it goes, and being the mayor, I bet you have to deal with this a lot. Judge Edna Stout plays the piano, I bet she has to deal with a lot of. The pastor definitely has to deal with this stuff. But see, all of us do. Every one of us has to deal with some type of offense constantly. Because again, we live in a world, but we're not supposed to live of it. That's why Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we've got to get the Word of God engrafted into our minds that when that spirit of offense is trying to come upon us, that we do what we're fixing to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, real fast. 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 10 and begin to say amen when you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You there? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. A lot of times, offense can be a stronghold. You're offended about everything. And before you know it, you feel like you don't have friends and you have to then leave a situation so that you're not in the midst of that offense. And a lot of times it might be a stronghold of the enemy trying to keep you down. And we need to be set free from it. But how do you? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how many of you know that an offense is trying to exalt itself above God, the God of love, the God of redemption, the God of forgiveness? I mean, we have to understand that the enemy is trying to keep us bound when God says, I can show you how to not be bound by you simply casting down the imagination or the thought that is trying to destroy you. You begin to rodeo or play football or play a sport or play anything, and the enemy is always after your confidence. Say amen if you agree. Because he doesn't want you to have confidence in your ability, because you might give God the glory when you win or you succeed. Well, you know, he didn't call you to be a loser, did he? No, he called you to be a winner. He called you to be an overcomer by his blood. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. He called you to be the head, not the tail. He called you to be above the situations or circumstances or the trials, the tribulations, and not underneath them. No, he didn't call you just to cow down. No, he called you to win. That's why the Bible calls us soldiers in the army of God. Because we're supposed to operate in love, but we're also supposed to operate in the boldness of God and not allow the enemy to come in and defeat us, since we have the authority to use the name that's above every single name called Jesus. But if he can get us through a fence, and I know we're going right into the Christmas holiday season, and that's a great time that the enemy can cause people to get in a fence. Well, she's not helping me cook the pies. I mean, wow, he got a four-wheeler. My son can't afford a four-wheeler. Yeah, but you're not supposed to be looking at others, you see. But there's that spirit of offense. Wow. In other words, when we're casting down the imaginations, all we're simply doing is transforming ourselves from the world system into the kingdom of God's system. And that system is a whole lot easier, because how do you handle offense? Flip over to your right from Corinthians and turn just real fast, and we're almost done, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. If you go back to Revelations, just go back and go slow, and you'll find Peter. And go to 2 Peter. Did I say first? Yes. Go back to 1 Peter. I see it right there. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. What are we doing here this morning? We're going to get rid of that spirit of offense. Say amen if you agree. Amen. It is a killer. It causes friendships to leave. It causes people to leave the church. It causes divorce. How did Jesus handle offense? Look here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. In the Amplified, for even to this were you called, it is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example so that you should follow in his footsteps. He was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit, guile ever found on his lips. When he was reviled and insulted, how did he do it? He did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. He personally bore our sin, verse 24, in his own body on a tree as an altar, and offered himself on it, that we, that's talking about us, might die, cease to exist, to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You see, how Jesus did it is, when they insulted him, he didn't receive it. You know, it's the same in receiving a negative report in your health. You go to a doctor and the doctor says, well, you have this situation, it's not good. Some cases that I've had to minister about are, they have declared a doctor that, you know, you have cancer, let's say. Stage 4. You'll ask the doctor, well, what's that mean? How long do I have? In one man's case, they gave him about 2 months. That's the time. You better know who you are in Christ Jesus. That's not the time to be offended. That's not the time to, you know, start rehearsing all the wrongs that's happened in your life. No, that's the time you better have the Word of God on the inside of you, and you better be confident of who you are in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved this morning, it's time to get saved. If you're born again, though, you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to know your rights as a believer in Him. And your rights is that you have the authority to use His name, Jesus. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name. We don't pray in the name of Cowboy Church or Corey Ross. It will not do you any good. But when you pray in that name, Jesus, that's what then breaks all those strongholds down. That when you say Jesus, that's when every demon, the Bible says, has to flee. Well, what if they come back? Well, then you say it again. Because you've got to take the authority that God has given you. Because the reason someone gets offended is they have lost confidence in themselves. Enemy, you're no good. You're not good enough. You don't know enough of the Bible. You don't know any scripture. Well, I don't know anybody that has memorized the whole Bible. I mean, there's not a single preacher that I know, and I know some smart ones, that knows all of the Bible and can quote it. And there might be some, but man, I don't know them. The point is all we've got to know is who lives on the inside of us. The authority that we have in the one that lives on the inside of us. Just knowing, and that's why you come to church, right? Because you're learning from the Word of God who you are in Christ. Because again, man, anything can offend nowadays. And boy, before you know it, enemy attacks. And that's what we got to stop. And we got to start getting confidence on about who we are in Christ. Man, they can say anything about me. Doesn't matter. I have the confidence to know who I am in Christ. Now, I may have to repent. Say amen to that. We may have to repent. Dadgummit, I blew it. I apologize. Now, I've had to do that many times. Recently, ask my wife. But listen, I'm not going to take on that offense. I don't want to live by that spirit any longer. So here's some lessons that I want to leave you with on how to get rid of offense. You ready? Number one, refuse to hold grudges. Say amen to that. Refuse it. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. It's not hurting them. It's hurting you. Refuse to hold grudges. In other words, we all can mess up. You better look at yourself. I mean, you can mess up just as easy as I can. So refuse to hold grudges. Number two, always walk in forgiveness. That's why Jesus said, turn that other cheek. Walk in forgiveness, man. We don't have time. Now, again, you might have to walk away from someone abusing you. You're not supposed to stay in it, in the middle of it. No, but you don't need to carry that offense to the next relationship. No, just walk away from that. Love them from a distance. Those are okay things. But don't live by that spirit of unforgiveness. No, walk in it. Forgiveness. And then number three, always stay in love. And I'm talking about God's kind of love, not human love. Not our kind of, you know, human love that can change. No, I'm talking about God's kind of love that is irrevocable. God's love that man, he just forgives. Matter of fact, listen, when you've done something wrong in the eyes of God or someone else and you have to say, God, forgive me, I apologize, sir. I can see where that could hurt, that could be judgmental, I apologize for that, sir. Do you realize that when you do that, God forgets about it? Boy, not humans. They'll bring it up for years just to try to get you to meditate on it again and get offended. We're not going to live that way anymore. If you've gone through a divorce, you've gone through this or that, a breakup of friendship, you've had someone hurt you, I want you to let it go today, because it is not hurting them, it's hurting you. It's causing you to live in the meditation of all the bad stuff that happened instead of meditating on the Word of God day and night, you see. And if you'll let yourself be freed from it today, you won't take it to the next relationship. You'll be able to trust people. Because see, that's what offense does. I ain't trusting them no more. No, you'll be able to trust. No, you'll still have that spirit of discernment. You're not just going to just blindly start trusting everybody. You'll have that spirit of discernment, and you'll be able to say, sir, is this the right one to get into? And then God will say, it's okay. Or he might say, caution, caution, hold your ground, stay put. If the doctor says you only got 6 months to live, the worst thing one can do is receive that report. Okay, I trust that. Well, that's when people die. But when you believe the Bible right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, and you believe that by his stripes we're healed, and you believe that more than the report of the doctor, I'll show you where the fact of what the doctor said will be overridden by the truth of the Word of God, and you'll be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You're just going to have to get that spirit of offense off you, start walking in forgiveness, walking in love, and start walking in who you really are in Christ Jesus, regardless of how many scriptures you know. Now, when you walk in who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll start learning one scripture at a time. Okay. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I just read that. Praise God. I can do it. I can. I changed it to I will. Just for me. Not changing the Bible. I will do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through God. You know why? Because he loves me. Matter of fact, I don't know. I just want to let all of you know that I'm God's favorite. No, I am, but you are too. I heard some people get offended right then. No, you ain't, brother. No, I'm kidding. They didn't get offended. But what they were doing is saying, no, I'm God's favorite, right? Well, that's how we all should be. No, I'm God's favorite. Why don't you say that? I'm God's favorite. You know, say it. You're God's favorite. Because if you can't say it, something's wrong. And the enemy, you're believing in what the enemy says about you because of what you did back when or yesterday or whatever. But that's not who you are, because you are not conformed to this world. You're conformed by the renewing of your mind. You were made in the image of God Almighty. Amen. You're made in his likeness. Oh, yeah, but the devil tells you, yeah, but you don't know what I've done, brother. Yeah, but God does, and he still forgives you. And he throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Remember is as far as the east, or no more as far as the east is to the west. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Amen. Because there are some things that people could bring up about me in college that, woo-wee, could be bad. Because the party was at my house. I was fun.
You were fun.
I was fun. Now I'm just righteous fun.
You're righteous fun.
I'm doing what's right, in other words. Now, I might make a mistake, but thank God for my God that's full of mercy and not just full of the spirit of pride and arrogance and I'm going to beat you up over the head with the Bible, because that's what a lot of people think. Oh, brother, God's going to humble you. You ever heard that before? Do you realize that's not in the Bible? But what is in the Bible is the Bible says to humble yourself. In other words, God's not roaming around like a roaring lion. Remember that? That's the devil. looking for someone to correct? No, he's already given you the Word of God. And the Word of God is yes and amen. It's what corrects, reproves, and things like that. So why don't we start living by that? So here's what we're going to do is we're going to close. And I want everybody to do it. Stand to your feet. Let's all do this together, and we're going to do it with the authority of Jesus Christ. You ready? And we got plenty of time. Dallas starts in 8 minutes. 8 minutes, so we're good. I want you to declare this out of your mouth. And when you declare it, I want you to mean everything you say. Because every single one of us has the temptation to be offended. And let's declare the Word of God over that spirit right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of your mouth. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spirit of offense. Offense, you will not control me anymore. You are under my feet. You spirit, you are broken from my life in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that I live in the spirit of love, of righteousness, of redemption in Jesus' name. I refuse to ever be offended ever again in Jesus' name. I will never walk in offense. I walk in love. I walk in forgiveness. And Father, I give you praise. That spirit, the spirit of offense, is broken over me in Jesus' name. Now agree with this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I break the spirit of offense over Williamson County, over Burnett County, over all the counties around us. And you spirit, you be gone. Now all of you look up. We're not gonna bow our head to speaking to a spirit of the devil. He does not deserve that. You spirit of offense, you get out of this area, and we take authority over it in Jesus' name. And if we do that, it'll help the mayor, and it'll help our councilmen, and it'll help our government. We will not live in that spirit any longer because it is broken in Jesus' name. And we declare right now that Jesus Christ is the Lord over our lives. And he's the Lord over this county. He's the Lord over this city. He's the Lord over this country, and he's the Lord over this government. He's actually the Lord over this world. If they don't know it, they will one day. Because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that'll be done here on earth, it'll be done in hell, and it'll be done in heaven. So we might as well do it right here on earth so we don't have to do it any other place. Come on, y'all. So break it. And listen to me. Sit down just for 1 second and then we'll leave. Listen to me real carefully. Look at me. I caution you right now. Anytime the spirit has been broken off of you, the enemy will try to come and steal the word. Caution. Do not let that happen. The temptation will come back for you to get in offense. The enemy, that's how he works. He comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's John 10:10. And he wants you to stay angered. He wants you to stay upset. He wants you to stay mad. Do not do it another time. Don't give him that. So when it comes back and you have that opportunity, the reason you're supposed to be conformed to the world by the renewing of your mind is that that's when you say, no, I'm born again. So what would Jesus do? He would forgive. Okay, I'm not going to get offended over that. And you know what would happen? Is the one trying to defend, it's going to make them matter. Because they're not going to get you down any longer. And what does the word say? When you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he'll flee. He may come back, but that's when you resist him again. Nope. During Christmas with my family, and I know everybody tends to get upset. I'm not going to get upset this year. And you know what? They might get upset a little bit, but then you watch them start fleeing. That old spirit. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people, y'all. You got to get that into your knowledge. We do not wrestle against people. We wrestle against the principalities and the powers of darkness. The one that's behind trying to get you offended. The one that's behind trying to get you mad. Don't let him. Please don't. Forgive me. Forgive me if I've hurt you. I didn't mean to. I promise. Man, I love y'all. If someone else has hurt you, man, forgive them. You might have to say just, hey, forgive me. But always walk in forgiveness. Because I can promise you, life is way better than living upset. Amen? So in this holiday season, and we're going to have a great service next Sunday, right before Christmas. It's going to be fantastic. Bring your family. I can't wait. But in this holiday season, let's refuse to allow that spirit to come back into our lives. And let's remind the devil, no, that's gone. I take that thought and imagination, and I cast it out in Jesus' name. And I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And when you walk that way, they'll be like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Man, you're full of confidence. And you'll just say, well, man, to the glory of God, I just want to be a sweet. I want to be a blessing to you. And you know what it'll do? It'll turn everybody else away from that spirit of offense to the spirit of the God of love that's walking and operating on the inside of you. You are someone in Christ Jesus because you're made in his image in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that we're not going to have offense in our lives anymore. Anymore. Listen to me, by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God just brought this to my mind to tell every single person at the sound of my voice to use great caution in these days, says the Lord. That there may be a time that the spirit of darkness will try to come to deceive. And there may be a time that will be good for you to hold, this is what I hear, hold your tongue. And if you'll be obedient, says the Lord, in that area, hold your tongue. The blessing of God will come in your life. And you'll be delivered from the snares, the darts of the enemy. So walk in victory. Walk in the goodness. Walk in the blessing. For they are very, very good for you, says the Lord. Now say amen if you agree with that. Amen. Hold your tongue. Wow. Father, if there's one person in here that does not know you, I ask you to draw their hearts to you right now. Not to this church, to you. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, glory be to God. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want you to. We're going to confess a prayer. The scripture is Romans 10, verse 9. It says, if you'll confess, uses this word in the King James called thou. That's all of us. If thou shalt confess with your mouth. Confession is made out loud. That means you say something. Not underneath your breath. You say it out loud. You confess that Jesus is Lord and then believe that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. We all know you're saved first from a place called hell that was not made for you. You're saved from having to live on this earth without someone to call upon. I mean, now when you give your life to Jesus, you're saved. You get to say, God, thank you for being my God. I need some help. Man, you can just make your request known. That's what the word says. You can go boldly to his throne. You don't have to go through a preacher or a priest. You can go directly to God Almighty. So the question is, are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you died and left this earth today, and I'm not speaking death on you, I speak life on you. I just want you to think that all of us are going to leave this earth and we're going to die of this flesh. But we will live somewhere. Obviously, I want you to live in heaven. I do not want you to live in that place called hell. It is very bad. Heaven's way better. So that's the question. If you died today, do you know where you'll go? If you don't, I want you to pray this prayer with me. All y'all that are watching, I want you to pray it as well. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to give your life to him right now by praying this prayer. Y'all that are in here, I'm going to ask all the Christians to pray this prayer as well so that you can pray with someone maybe around you that has never given their lives to Jesus. And we'll just pray it with them. If you are here and that's you that has never given your life to the Lord, pray this prayer and mean it. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Would you do it right now? You ready? Out of your mouth, would you all pray it? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus. You prayed that prayer this morning. You never had before. You never had made Jesus the Lord of your life. When I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to say that was me by just raising. No one's looking around but me. Raise your hand up, put it right back down. That's all. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. All I want you to do is right where you're at. If you just gave your life to Jesus, you get that hand up and don't be ashamed. You ready? One, two, with boldness. Three, go. You just gave your life to Jesus. One, two. Anybody else? Three. Good. Just raise it up. We're going to give you a Bible. Thank you. Praise God. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, there's always people saved here. It's amazing. Very seldom we have people not born again at this church. It's amazing. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. We love you so much. Well, look at me. Thank God three or so people, I believe, gave their lives to Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. That's really what it's about. God, thank you. Now, listen to me. Tonight, I cannot wait. I want every single one of you here because we're doing our Christmas concert, our country Christmas concert, and then the kids are doing a play. They're going to sing some songs. Listen to me real carefully. I know there's been a little confusion on the time. It starts at 5 o'clock. We'll eat, have a little bit of refreshments, and then the kids will start at 5:30, okay? So moms and dads, make sure your kids are here by 5 o'clock, unless your teacher has told you earlier. And we're going to be here at 5. So everybody come at 5, fellowship for a little bit, and then we're going to start. I'm going to be telling the Christmas story in the Bible while we sing a few of the songs. After the kids and after the youth do their play and the kids sing, then our band will get up here, and I bet we've got about 15 good songs just to sing during the Christmas story. And then as soon as it's done, we'll just keep playing for a little bit. It won't last just real long, but it's going to be a blast. So I want every one of you, even if you live off, make plans just to come back at 5 o'clock and let's bring your family. Tell your friends. Let's get this place packed out for our annual Christmas concert, and it's going to be a blast. Amen? Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Love you. Panthers, man, moms and dads, I'm so excited. Get a hold of us. We'll caravan down there to Dallas. I mean, we might as well support our...